Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it. Throws to first. It's over. 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
This is the Thompson to Clark podcast, and as I was doing my research, Brad, going through all the recaps of the games, I realized we had two grand slams this week.
Two. Hang on. I know Wilmer. Oh, Koss. Yeah, it feels like it's been like 8 weeks ago. But yeah.
Chris Koss hit a grand slam as well.
Yeah.
And now my video is funky. We'll see goes on here.
Oh, no. All the technical gremlins everywhere today, man. They're getting you.
Yeah, I have no idea why. It's like...
I do. It's Monday. It's the only reason.
Yeah, it's so weird. Technology can be so fantastic and so awful all at the same time. Okay, yeah. I think I'm back. Hopefully I'm back. At least I'm close to being back.
Yeah, you're there. But you know what? Our audio is good, and that's what matters the most. People want to hear what we have to say about this team.
So before we get into the Giants stuff, I just wanted to mention that Brian did an interview with Valkyrie's first ever draft pick, Yuste Yodite, I think is close to how you pronounce her last name. She told us how to do it on the air. The video is up there, and it's still kind of hard to pronounce it. So this is going to be one that you just kind of have to practice in the mirror. But anyways, I've only seen one interview that she's done with Bay Area media. So it's kind of cool that she decided to talk to Brian, and they did like 40-ish minutes, and it's kind of getting out there. I've seen it aggregated a little bit on Reddit. I've been tagged on stuff in Instagram. So that is out there. WNBA season started. Valkyrie started. First ever game was Friday. Brian and I talked about all that stuff. You can find the full episode on the BSPN audio network, and there's videos on our YouTube channel. So there will be more videos. I'll clip some more stuff from her answers because, you know, she's like 19 years old, but has been playing professionally since she was like a young teenager. It's incredible. Yeah. So, check that out. And I think Rod and I will be back Wednesday talking 49ers and Brock Purdy's contract and all that good stuff. So, all right, we are here to talk some baseball, though. And I mentioned the thing about the two grand slams is because I feel like every time we open up this show, we talk about how the offense is letting the team down. They can't score enough runs. You know, when they need the big hit, they don't get it. And this week, they got it. Yet they still lost two games to Arizona. I would say in two of those games in Arizona, the starting pitching did let them down a little bit. And the offense was there. The offense was there to battle. And then in Oakland, it all kind of crystallized and came together very nicely. And Oakland is not a bad team either. Like that, you know, they're not the Dodgers or the Padres or the Diamondbacks. But they battle and they compete. So it was nice to see the Giants sweep the A's. And then now they, as we are recording, they're about a half an hour away from starting the game against the Royals. So overall, I would say a pretty strong week. And had there been a couple of things here and there go differently, they might have been able to take a second game against the Diamondbacks. But the Diamondbacks are a good baseball team. That's the level of baseball the Giants are going to have to play if they want to compete.
Yeah, definitely. And and you say Oakland. Can we call it? I mean, that's a controversy this weekend. Can you call them Oakland anymore? They're not really the Oakland Athletics. They're anytime you see them in the standings, they're just ATH. They don't have a city, technically, that they're, I mean, they're West Sacramento, but they don't really have a city in their name anymore. They're just the Athletics, but I think John Miller kept calling them Oakland.
He did. Hey, John Miller's from the East Bay. He grew up
exactly.
In the East Bay. That's his. But Kruko called them Oaklamento.
Oaklamento. I like that. It sounds like a drink. Take the Oaklamento.
Yeah, exactly.
On the rocks.
Yeah.
I think
no cherry. I don't need a cherry for that
one. Yeah, no cherry. One thing that's a little bit frustrating too is the offense. You know, they did what they're supposed to do in a couple of the games. But again, they you know, you go to extras and you win a 1-0 ball game against the Athletics. Then you have a game on Sunday where they're getting just absolutely shut down by Springs, right? And then was it Springs that pitched yesterday?
Yeah.
On Sunday?
He shut down 20 straight batters.
Yeah, after the leadoff home run by Elliot Ramos. But this team finds a way. So you can't really say it's frustrating because they swept the series, but it is frustrating that when, your pitching is doing so well and you're just not cranking out the runs. Casey Schmidt is back this week. Encarnacion was shut down for a couple of days, but they still expect him back on the 28th, and that's 9 days away.
A hand tenderness or something?
Yeah, some soreness in the hand. And I think it was the hand that was worked on. So, you know, I think he'll be back. So that's a little bit more offense coming back. Casey Schmidt, can you call him offense? I mean, more offense than David Villar possibly.
Yeah.
But so it is hard to watch this offense sometimes, but they do seem to really get runners on, move runners over, do what they need to do in key situations. So if it's a tight game, I have a lot of faith in this team. If they're down 6-1, 5-1 in the fifth or sixth inning, I don't have as much faith because I think this team needs to keep the score low and they need to continue to make great defensive plays like they have been doing. And that's what's helped this team quite a bit, you know, is the pitching and the defense. And we knew that coming into the season. So it is fun to watch. I mean, I'll tell you that. It is exciting and fun to watch.
There were a couple of moments where a ball, like I mentioned, kind of the ball bouncing here or there. Ramos hits a drive. I think it was in the second game against the Diamondbacks. And it looked like it was going over the fence, but it kind of hangs. And then the Diamondbacks left fielder kind of makes this like jumping, spinning catch and then falls on his ass. And it's like, well, okay, you deserve that one.
Exactly.
But Ramos hit the heck out of it. He hit the heck out of the ball all week long. And that is fun to see. Like we did the little segment last week about who could be their all-star of a position player. He's making it look like it could be him. And Wilmer, you know, we kind of, you had him as your April player of the month.
Yeah.
And the only thing, when you look at his numbers, the only thing that doesn't look fantastic is the batting average. And yet he drove in more runs in the three game series than the A's scored entirely in the three game series. Like he had a hell of a weekend, hit three home runs in one game. So even if it's a little bit inconsistent with getting on base or whatever, he's getting the big hits when they need it. And he has been very, very valuable. Leads the league in RBIs, right?
I think he does lead. As a matter of fact, I was actually just checking to look at his overall stats. When you look at RBI, yep, he's 42. He's got 42. Aaron Judge has 41. Aaron Judge went 0-for-5 the other day, dropped his batting average to 402. poor guy. It's in 401 now. I think he's going to be all right. He can take an 0-for-5 now and then.
yeah, totally. But what? And then I have Shohei on my All-Star team, and you know, he was kind of in the beginning. He was like, he's not put up to Shohei standards, and then he's got like 16 home runs now or something. He's crazy.
Yeah. You can. I mean, he's one of those sneaky guys. He's just going to do his thing, because when you look at the home run leaders, we don't have anybody. Really, I mean, Wilmer's got 10, so he's 17th in the league in home runs. But you got Shohei with 16 and Judge with 15 and Schwarber with 15. The big dumper, Cal Raleigh, he's got 15. Hey, Eugenio Suarez, he's a guy in our fantasy league who was just sitting there. I know he's only hitting like 216, but I needed a third baseman, so I grabbed him. And I need some home runs, so I thought, well, perfect. This guy's going to work out well. But yeah, Wilmer's got his 10 and his 42 runs driven in and his 258 batting average.
So it's up now. From yeah. when we looked when we did.
I think it was like 224 when we did the player of the month. So yeah.
Yeah, no, it was really good stuff. So they sweep the A's, lost 2-3 to the Diamondbacks. The Dodgers and the Padres also had a rough weekend. Mm-hmm. So the Giants are hanging
Excellent.
In there. They're hanging in there. They're competing. That is all we asked of them. We did not want to see them go 80-82 and for the last 2 months of the season to be meaningless baseball. And that's what we're getting so far. So cross your fingers that things still stay that way. And you know, we'll see some fun summer baseball is my hope.
Yeah.
So we talked about Wilmer's big week, but there's also a lot of news with the team. And I think the big news is something We shouldn't really get credit for sniffing this out, because I think a lot of Giants fans sniffed this one out. But we let off last week's show by talking about Jordan Hicks and if he needs to go back to the bullpen and what he could provide in the bullpen. And the Giants made that move. Jordan Hicks is now in the pen, and Hayden Birdsong, who did not pitch well in his last outing, had he actually pitched well, they might have won game two because they came back and they scored a bunch of runs. But yeah, he gave up two deep jacks, just 95 mile an hour fastball in the happy zone both times, and they just put him out of the ballpark. So Hayden is going to be replacing Jordan Hicks. I saw Grant Brisby made a really strong argument as to why it was Hicks instead of Roop. And not this was pre Roop's really good start yesterday. But the idea was younger pitchers, when they kind of get pulled around a little bit, you know, they like a little bit more comfort. And Hicks has proven in his career that he understands how to pitch out of the pen. So that could be some of the reason why. But we talked about it last week. Did you expect them to pull the trigger? And what do you think of Hicks going to the bullpen?
You know, when we talked about it, we mostly talked about Roop, because he didn't necessarily have the experience. He hadn't been in the majors that long. So we're kind of, you know, kicking around the idea of Roop more than Hicks. I mean, we're going back and forth on that. I, you know, and I think I mentioned too, we're getting to the 1/3 part of the season, because we're getting up on 10 starts each. And when you're talking about a starter, you're talking about 30 to 35 starts. So you're right around the 1/3 part of the season for starting pitchers. So yeah, I was expecting something. Not now. I was thinking another week or two, maybe when they went on the road. But this way, at least you're getting Birdsong a start at home in front of the home crowd. So I guess that's the way to do it. Get him a little confidence boost. Confident enough where I picked him up in our fantasy league to start tomorrow because my starting pitching is so bad. But I thought, hey, I'm gonna take a flyer on this kid, because hey, he can go seven innings and strike out like 8 or 9. He's gonna possibly keep the ball in the yard. That's the kind of pitcher he is. And yeah, I think it was time for a change. I think you talked to most Giants fans, it was time for a change like 3 weeks ago when Birdsong hadn't even given up a run in in relief. So I think at that point, most fans were like, okay, let's make the change here. I mean, you can't really do that because you're dealing with human emotions, but the fact that Jordan Hicks, it was totally cool with it and said, look, I want to win, you know, so I'll do whatever I need to do with this team. He sees it. It's a good team. So if he can help out in the bullpen, great. And if he becomes the bullpen guy that he has in the past, this is a nasty lights out bullpen.
At least from the right side, for sure.
Yeah, from the right side. Yeah, lefties, you know, we've got Miller and we've got Harrison. And
yeah,
you really consider Harrison a reliever. I mean, you know, he's throwing two innings here and there, but still.
I wonder if they will have Harrison ready for Birdsong's starts, just to stretch. You don't want to just go from Birdsong throwing two and three innings, so all of a sudden he's got to throw 100 pitches. So you kind of got to help him get there. So I wonder if they pair them up, which would be kind of fun.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the way to do it also, because you're going from, you know, right-handed to left-handed. So you know, that's kind of a good combination to have. So yeah, sure, on the days that Birdsong pitches, you go righty to lefty Harrison out of the bullpen for a couple innings to bridge the gap. So yeah, I kind of like that idea, as a matter of fact. So if you can get Birdsong through like 4-5 innings and then get to Harrison for 2, and then you bridge it to the back end of the bullpen, it's going to be an interesting series. We've got Kansas City coming in tonight. This is the, you know, we're recording this on Monday. So Monday night, start the series with Kansas City. And we got Robbie Ray against Bubich, and he's having a great season too. So we're going to be facing some decent pitching. Kansas City has a pretty good bullpen as well. Although their closer is shaky, Estevez, I think they've been talking about possibly, I think they have Ursegg, who's their eighth inning setup guy, and that guy's lights out. But you get to Estevez, and I guess his numbers aren't super fantastic, his metrics aren't fantastic, everything else isn't great. So again, you could play close games like that against a team like the Royals, and I think you're good. I got off totally off topic.
So. Well, just since you went there, we talked about this last week, the AL Central having four teams above 500 baseball, which is just like the National League West. So it's a really good division. And Royals are 26-22. They're probably closer to average than anything else, but still, they are a positive ball club. And then the Giants get the Nationals, who are 21-27. Not great with the run differential, so hopefully they can take advantage of that. And all home games. No, actually, the Nationals they go to DC, so they have these three home games against the Royals.
Another East Coast kick, man. I'm telling you, it just kind of feels like this season has been all about you're at home, then all of a sudden you're on an East Coast kick, and then you bring it back home, and you go back out to the East Coast again. So, haven't had that West Coast swing. I mean, we did. You know, we had the Padres, we had the Angels, but still, you haven't had that swing where you go like, you know, Seattle, and in the past it was Seattle, Oakland, San Diego, LA, and then come back home, and you had this nice West Coast swing, but I haven't had anything like that yet.
Another piece of information that came out is Verlander. He was kind of wondering about his velocity being down yesterday.
Yeah.
Though he battled through it. He gave up 5 walks. He had a shorter stint than I'm sure he wanted, but they were only up 2-1 or whatever when he left the game, I think. And it sounds like he's got a pec injury that he's dealing with. So that, I think they're going to test it out and see if it, you know, give it a couple days. And if not, then maybe he will see the DL. And again, this was why having as much starting pitching as they do and having, you know, they basically have 2 starters in the bullpen as long men, because they just don't have room in the rotation for them. And that could be something for Harrison, or you put Hicks back in if Verlander is hurt and has to miss his next start. So it's good that they have those players. But, you know, I think this is something that we talked about in the beginning of the season, which is with Verlander, he is older. You're going to have these moments where he may have to miss a start or two, and you hope that he doesn't push it to where he actually gets injured. And in this sense, if it's a small injury and he's got to miss two starts, so be it. Get better, come back, and get back in the rotation. And I know there's some folks who are kind of wondering why Verlander gets a long rope versus someone like a Hicks or a Roop. And it's because he's a Hall of Famer, and you paid him to come over here
to pitch for 20 years
and have a shot to, you know, to take their 28 starts in the season. You're not going to mess with that guy unless he's just absolutely horrible and not competing anymore. It's going to, you know, not to bag on the Dodgers, but this is something that Clayton Kershaw, I think they're going to have to figure out with him. Like, he did, what did he get out of, like, the second inning or something in his first start back? So I know he had a rough one, and he's going to have to figure it. But you give Kershaw the opportunity because he's proven that he's done it before. You trust him that he's going to do everything it possibly takes to figure it out. And they're going to do the same thing with Verlander, especially because they are not the, I guess, not the sexiest team for free agents to come to. I'm talking about the Giants. If you want some of these name value players to decide maybe that the Giants are a good match for them, you don't want to then have Verlander have a bad review of the team before he retires, telling all of these older vets, like, no, don't come here. Like, they're going to screw with you. Like, you want him to have a good experience, kind of like when Randy Johnson won the 300th game here. You want those guys to be like, yeah, it's a really good place to fall back on, especially because the ballpark plays so well. Yeah. And, hey, if you can get a Hall of Famer to basically end the twilight years of his career in your ballpark, I think that's a kind of a cool thing. So I hope that Verlander, whatever he's dealing with, I hope it's not too bad, and he can kind of figure out and get back out there.
I think he trusted Buster Posey when he signed with the Giants, and you know, Buster's going to follow through with that. He signed him to be an anchor in the bullpen, a veteran, 1-year deal. And he's going to let him, as long as his arm isn't, you know, falling off, he's going to let him go out there and throw on his turn in the rotation. And you know, he's not pitching horribly. He's still bouncing back from last year. He said he's working through some stuff, but pitching yesterday, he said, wasn't going to make it any worse. So he went out there and threw. He's going to have his good days. And like you said, too, we've got the young arms. So if you need to give him a turn or two off in the rotation, you know, what's that, a couple of weeks, if you need to give him that, you can. And then get him healthy for the stretch run, get him healthy for the playoffs, because that's where this team right now is headed. And we can say that. We can say that this team is heading for the playoffs. The way they're playing right now and the way things are shaping up.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
So some other news about the team. We mentioned Casey Schmidt is back, and they did have to DFA David Villar for the second time this season, which can't be great for him. He's at this weird Crash Davis crossroads of his career.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do you do if you're him? Well, if you still believe and you still want to fight, then you just keep, you know, if you clear waivers, you come back to the Giants. And I don't know how many times that they can do this again, but he, you know, he's in his like mid to late 20s now. So he's no longer the prospect. And that really hurts his leverage and negotiation opportunities with other teams. And so he's staying with the team that he's comfortable with, and good luck to him. It's got to be like maybe one of the crappiest things a big leaguer can go through is just being in this like middle zone where the team kind of wants you but doesn't want you enough, and there's really not a lot of opportunity to latch on to other rosters because they're good. You've basically created this space where this is what other teams are going to do to you now. You get put on the 40 man so that you can play, and then when the other player comes back, then you get DFA'd again. So that's got to suck for VR, and I hope he lands wherever he lands, even if it's back with us. I hope it's a soft landing.
You know, the thing with him too is he is a true professional, and so if somebody does pick him up, there's got to be some teams that need a third slash first baseman down in the minors, especially a guy who's been around a long time and can work with some of their younger guys. So if you've got a really young AAA team, and you just kind of need a guy in there, hey, he's out of options. So he'd be in the minors, and if you could pull him up at some point, he might get DFA'd again. But yeah, like you said, it's kind of past the prospect point where he's just going to all of a sudden turn it on and be a, mm-hmm. you know, a 20 home run guy or anything like that. That's not happening. I don't think he's going to get, even if he had the opportunity to play 150, 155 games, I'm not sure he's that type of player. But he is a good, he's a professional. He's a professional ball player. He's a professional hitter. He carries himself very well. So if he doesn't end up with the Giants, yeah, he's going to end up on a team that could use him to, kind of help bring some of the younger guys along.
Another guy who's having a really good beginning of the season in the minor leagues is the Wiz kid, Carson Wisenhunt.
Yeah,
he's really giving them all of the information that that they need to make some decisions on who he is. He was named the PCL Pitcher of the Week. 14 innings, 14 strikeouts, 0 runs given up. So that could be someone else on the radar if they need some more live arms. And he is left-handed, by the way, though I imagine they can allow him to play a little bit longer in AAA as long as the team stays healthy, because he does have a few arms in front of him. So he can actually, you know, probably make it through most of that season without needing to be called up. And then next year they could think about bringing him up into the rotation. I don't know anything about that, by the way. That's just kind of my reading of the tea leaves and hopeful. I would love to just see him pitch. So,
oh yeah.
Sooner the better for us, just to see what we have. But for his actual career and bringing him up the right way, I'm sure pitching in Sacramento would benefit the Giants farm system. But if he could force his way up here too, just like continuing to pitch lights out.
Yeah, and you look at all of this and you go, Birdsong, Harrison, both pitching well. Wisenhunt, pitching well. Then you start to look at 2026. And you look at that and you go, hey, we could have a wealth of young arms to go along with Webb. And I think Robbie Ray is back next year, right? So you could have Ray, Webb, and then three young guys. So that's kind of a nice problem to have. So yeah, you know, I don't think you have to force anybody in anywhere right now, but getting them that experience on the mound at Oracle or on the road with the team, getting all of that experience, I think is going to go a really long way for next season.
And, you know, we're always on Bryce Eldridge watch, you know, yes. talk about another guy. We hope that he kind of forces his way. He is hitting over 280 in Richmond, five jacks, and his slugging percentage is around 530-ish, and which is higher than he slugged last year in his really, really good season. So just, you know, not something we necessarily need to watch all that closely. But when we had the Lamont Wade conversation last week, you know, there is an inkling, I'm sure, to go like, okay, where's Bryce at? Like, how long do we have to sit through this? And then, yeah, you know, Lamont Wade was a bit of a hero yesterday, hit the double to lead the rally in the eighth inning. And he immediately scored when Patrick Bailey hit the single. And then they got the other run in. They got the other run in on Elio Ramos base hit. So Lamont, you know, he came in as a pinch hitter, did his job. So that was great. Really, really great to see. But I do wonder how many more Casey Schmidt, Wilmer Flores against right-handers we're going to see, because, you know, he's still hitting in the 160s, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough combo. It's a tough combo right now at first base. You've got Schmidt, Lamont Wade Jr., and you've got Flores. So having Eldridge, I mean, he's still in double A, so he's got to get up to triple A. I'd say, you know, if he got up to triple A and got himself about 150 at bats and was doing this at triple A after 150 at bats, then you start to look and okay, I think it's time. So it's a little premature to sit here and wonder, but we can absolutely want. I mean, I want him up there. I mean, and again, I was just talking about 2026. So now you start to think about 2026, and I just looked, and Robbie Ray is again back next year for $25 million. If he pitches like this year, at $25 million next year is a bargain. And then you throw the three young guys in the starting rotation, and then you get Bryce Eldridge at first base to go along with everybody else they've got. And man, you've gotten better. I think you've gotten better from last year this year to next year. So,
you know, I was thinking about, because you mentioned Encarnacion due back, I think on my birthday actually is when he can come off the injured list. Mm-hmm. What's the 40-man move? I was looking at that 40-man roster, and I don't see necessarily an easy call on that roster.
Yeah, they just, I mean, just dumping VR. I haven't seen the 40-man. I'm going to pull that up real quick because I do have.
So here's a couple of names on the 40-man. They have Basabe on the 40-man, who is in the minors right now. And I'm just looking strictly at the position players. And then you have this interesting mishmash of infielders, Christian Koss, Casey Schmidt, Lamont Wade Jr. They actually have him as an infielder, not an outfielder because he plays first base. And Brett Wisely. And then in the outfield, you know, the only guys who probably won't make a dent anywhere is just their guys who are in the minors, like Grant McCray and Wade Meckler. I don't imagine they give up on those guys or Luciano. I don't imagine that they just dump a Koss or a Wisely. I would hate to see them dump Lamont Wade just because, you know, he's been with the team and he's a left-handed hitter, right? And they are so right-handed heavy on this team. I don't know what I mean, maybe I'm not looking at this thing correctly, maybe there's a, you know, there's a pitcher who they can move to like a DL, a 60-day DL spot to clear something up. But I can't see like an easy one that makes any sort of sense whatsoever.
I don't think any of these guys are hurt at the moment. I would say odd man out, you're probably looking at a Keaton Wynn or a Tristan Beck. I mean, there's nobody on the major league roster that's faltering to the point where you're going to need to send them down. I mean, that just happened with VR. Basabe, like you said, I mean, that's one guy. Yeah, I don't know. I think they're probably just sitting back and thinking because you got 9 days. Anything can happen in 9 days.
Could they sneak somebody through waivers?
Man, Sean Jelly? But see, I would think somebody would grab Sean Jelly. That's a thing. And even Wynn or Tristan Beck, I think. And so it's probably, you know, I wouldn't put it out of the realm of the possibility of being a trade. Tristan Beck and Wynn, one of those guys getting traded for cash or... Because you can't trade him for another rostered player
because in
the same position.
Right.
So you can trade him for, you know, maybe a really young minor leaguer that's not on a 40-man yet, or you trade him for cash and just kind of free up that spot. But, yeah.
Interesting thought exercise. But, you know, we still have a week, and we'll probably have a better idea even coming next week. Yeah. All right, so let's hit our player of the week. And this one's probably not all that hard to figure out.
Yeah, so Elliot Ramos had a fantastic week. He hit 391, 173 WRC+. He hit a home run, five ribs, scored four times, had a nice 11% walk rate, but he didn't have the week that Wilmer had. Wilmer had the week, man. 229 WRC plus, good for a 0.4 war on the week. 348 average, that bumped his average up like we talked about earlier, is up to 258 now. 506 WOBA, K percentage of only 7%, walk percentage of almost 18%. Three home runs, nine ribs. That's good for, I think, second in RBI on the week behind a couple of other guys. Will Benson being one of them from Cincinnati, who's on a tear. Scored six runs on the week as well, and had the walk-off bases loaded walk. You can never, I mean, nothing more excited than a bases loaded. It was a fantastic at bat. I mean, the at bat was just awesome. I've watched it, I don't know, two or three times, and how he laid off that second slider in the at bat. It's like 2-2, I think, or 1-2. And he laid off that second slider. I was like, man, how did he even do that? And it just broke Miller's spirit. He kind of turned around and looked and thought, that was it, man. That was the pitch. I thought it was going to get him right there. So,
what did Miller hit on the gun? Like, did he hit 105? Oh,
he hit 102, 103, I think. Because after that slider that he missed on, that he couldn't get Wilmer to swing on, he just went all fastballs. And even on the 3-2 pitch, all you got to do is slot a 103 right down the middle. He couldn't even do that. It was down below the zone.
Yeah, the catcher, I don't know if you saw the last pitch on of the walk. The catcher kind of like did a half stand up as if to say, like, dude, just throw it right down the middle. Yeah,
that's all you got to do.
If he hits it out, he hits it out. But we just don't want to walk this guy. And the reason why, now to kind of to make the manager look bad, is the manager intentionally walked Mike Yastrzemski to load the bases right before that at bat. So not only did you load the bases to get to the Giants' hottest hitter, you loaded the bases when your pitcher was a little wild. And, you know, I have Mason Miller on my fantasy team. He's been killing me. Like, he's not been great at all. But it was just kind of crazy to see Wilmer being so in the zone. He's like fouling off 103 around his numbers, or around the lettering on his jersey. And Like I'm sure that's a pitch that Miller just thought, okay, he's not going to be able to catch up to this one, no matter how hot he is. And he was able to foul it off. Like, it was incredible. I think I was more impressed with his ability to foul off those pitches than I was with the three homer game. Cause it's like 103 with you can practice that with that super fast pitching machine or whatever, but man, that was crazy. So yeah, Wilmer, I know we have beat up on Wilmer over the years here and there, just because, you know, he's often injured and he's not the most athletic guy in the world. But when he is at an at bat, unlike some of the other players on the team, I do not feel like he's going to be overmatched. I feel like he's going to battle, which is a good thing, you know, because there are some other hitters in that lineup where I kind of like shrug my shoulders and go, oh man, why is this guy up again? Always when there's runners on base and we need a hit. But yeah, you know, and Bailey's the one that we pick on, and then he's the one who tied the game yesterday. So good on Patrick Bailey. Got to give him a shout out.
Yeah, I feel like when Wilmer is locked in an at bat, it's fun to watch, because he is going to, and that's what I was thinking too. If Miller did come back with 103 down the heart of the plate, probably would have just fouled it off. Mm-hmm. And probably if he kept coming in the heart of the plate, he would have fouled, and then eventually put it into play to the point where maybe it doesn't do anything. But if you're throwing 103 and Wilmer's squaring you up, Wilmer's going to do some damage. So nice to see. I mean, we'll definitely talk about, I think we'll talk about All-Stars again, maybe in a couple of weeks, because if Wilmer continues to climb that average, I think you've got an argument.
Has he ever made an All-Star team?
I don't know. I'd have to take a look. Let's see.
I'm going to guess no, because a lot of his, you know, his good season is like, you know, 275 with 20 home runs. Like, that's a good season. Right. No, he has never made an All-Star.
Never has.
Hell.
Yeah.
That would be really cool for him. He's, you know, 2023 was probably his best season, combined average and power with the Giants, but he only played, you know, he only had 450 some odd at bats. So
yeah, man, that was the year of the platoon.
Yes. I think he's already on track, as long as he doesn't get hurt. Obviously, he's probably on track to get closer to 500 ABs this year, which would be great. It would be really cool to see.
In let's take a look, 2023, he did play some third base. He actually played some second base.
not in by choice, I'm sure. I imagine they really, really needed him there.
I do remember some of those games. Let's see how many. 2023, he played six games at second base. And in six games, how many errors do you think he made?
Zero.
He made zero errors. Fielding percentage of 1,000.
There you go.
At third how many errors?
Yeah, he probably made more at third. But how many balls do you think he actually got to that wasn't like in his immediate radius at second base? He probably wasn't.
Yeah.
You're like, why is Wilmer playing in like shallow right field?
You mean most people would have made the play because they're just, you know, as a standard second baseman, you can get over there pretty easily.
Well, you know what Bob Brenly used to say about Robbie Thompson is he used to say that Robbie Thompson would get to balls without leaving his feet that Ryan Sandberg used to have to dive for. That's how he explained Robbie's range and his quickness. Yeah. So
interesting. Yeah. I like that.
All right. So let's get out of here. But before that, I just wanted to do a quick standings check. So Giants, I think all the teams are playing today. No, Padres have the game off, but the Giants, the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers all play today. Actually, Diamondbacks and Dodgers play each other. That'd be a fun one to throw on MLB TV.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Giants are one game back. They've won three in a row. The Dodgers and the Padres have all lost three in a row. You know, I was looking, I love the run differential. I'm going to do it again.
Yeah, that's a good, you know what? I didn't put much faith into that until you started kind of turning me on to that a couple of years ago. So
I like it in football. I don't think it is as meaningful to show kind of like how much better your team is than you know. I think in football it's really useful. In baseball, season is so long. You know, maybe it does even out here and there, but. The Giants currently in the National League, the only teams that have a better run differential than the Giants are the Chicago Cubs, who are a plus 70, the LA Dodgers, who are a plus 63, and the New York Mets, who are a plus 56. The Giants are in fourth in the National League in run differential. And the only team that the only teams that give up less runs than the Giants so far this season are the New York Mets, who are kind of like the best team in the National League right now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Dodgers, I think, have the most talent, but they're also their pitching is hurting and such. But the Mets, I think, are the one thing about the Dodgers, they just score crazy amount of runs. But you put everything together, the Mets are probably playing better baseball right now. But only the Mets and the San Diego Padres give up less runs than the Giants in the National League. So those are some pretty interesting numbers. As Brad said, you know, we're kind of close to so we're at game 49. So not quite a third of the season through, but getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah. What is the Rockies run differential? I just want to hear you say it because it sounds so awful.
Minus 144.
Oh, good Lord.
And
they are one of the worst teams I think I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Okay, now if you were to... I don't think people would be able to guess the second worst, you know, out of like two or three tries. I think they would eventually figure it out. But the second worst team run differential wise is a team who was supposed to be good this year. That's the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, that whole thing is baffling. The whole Orioles situation, their offseason, but again, new ownership over the last couple seasons. People don't know what the ownership wants to do. And now that I think they're starting to get an idea that they just want to basically own a baseball team, but they don't want to do anything with the baseball team. So this offseason, not even trying to go after Corbin Burns, not even trying to do anything with the team. And Adley Rutschman, I guess, is having one of the worst seasons, you know, for a player that a catcher that was supposed to be like the next big thing, the next all-star catcher for years to come. And he's having a horrendous season. They've got all these young guys in the minors. I don't even know what that team's going to do. It's so rough to watch because I thought, man, the Orioles are going to be a tough team for years to come. Yeah. They're 15 games under 500.
Consistently winning is really hard in baseball.
It is.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Giants are in good standing. You know, they're going to have to probably win a few more games against good teams in order for people to really pay attention. But so far, so good after 47 games in the season. And we'll see how they do against the Royals. Royals coming into town, and then the Nationals, they're going on the East Coast, which is always kind of funky, but at least they do have a day off for the travel day. So, all right, we'll be back next week. Like I said, we'll have a We Want Winners. We'll probably have more Valkyries and Warriors stuff going on this weekend. And check out the Yuste Yotite interview. I think I screwed it up that time. we'll have it.
Brian didn't screw it up, right?
He purposely screwed it up because he wanted her to hear how he said it. And so that she could correct him. And it's still really hard to get down. But we'll have also, I know people on Instagram have kind of been tagging us going like, because I put a photo up of you stay and Brian, and they're like, where can we hear it? So it's only in the profile where you can go to hear this stuff, but we'll probably put a short up on YouTube and a reel on Instagram as well for our followers. And we'll have more content on the YouTube channel this week for that. So, all right. Thanks to Brad. I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.